Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission Radio team. You're about to hear an episode of Serving Today, a program for pastors and church leaders. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for pastors and church leaders. This is Andrew Cook. It's great to be together again. The letters of John, we come to the end of our survey of these New Testament books. And the last in the current series of The Practical Preacher with Steve Neal. In our studies in John's three letters, last time with Roger Prime's help, we reached the middle of the third chapter of 1 John. As Derek French spoke with Roger for us here on Serving Today, he asked him to continue with the rest of the third chapter of 1 John.
John shows how important this second test of love is. The assurance we have passed from death to life is seen that we love our fellow believers, and that love is to be seen not just in words, but also in our deeds. At the end of chapter 3, we see that this assurance of which John writes is not based on our feelings, but on the witness of God's Spirit in our hearts. He then continues in chapter 4 and verses 1 to 6 with the third test of assurance, by warning his readers not to believe every message they hear, but to test the prophets to see if they are being faithful to the truth of God. Their faith must be grounded in the truths of God.
I see John returns to the theme of love again in chapter 4 in the section verses 7 to 12. Why is this an important section of the letter?
Well, it is important because John uses these verses to focus his readers on the greatness of God's love for us in giving Christ as a sacrifice for our sins. He shows that we can only love because we have first experienced God's love in our hearts and lives, and that if we profess to love him, that love must be demonstrated in love for our fellow believers. John then goes on in chapter 5 to summarise his teaching on these three assurances of faith: obedience to God's commands, love for one another, and faith that holds to the truth of God.
Roger, verses 16 and 17 of chapter 5 are very difficult to understand. It's where John writes about sin that does not lead to death and sin that does lead to death. Can you give us any help with these verses?
Yes, I believe that when John writes here about the sin that does not lead to death, he is referring to the believer's sin, which is confessed and forgiven by the Lord. However, the sin that does lead to death is, I believe, the sin of those who deliberately disobey God, have no love for believers, and do not hold to the truth of God, the sin of the ungodly. Maybe John has in mind those he referred to in chapter 2 and verse 19, the false teachers who had gone out from them. John encourages prayer for fellow believers, but does not encourage prayer for those who have so deliberately sinned against the gospel of Christ.
In our last programme, Roger, you commented on the content of 2 and 3 John when telling us of John's purpose in writing. Did you want to make a further comment on that today?
Yes, if I could just add a comment on 2 John. You will see in this letter John writes to a godly lady, warning her not to offer hospitality to false teachers. He again lists these three tests of a true believer: love for one another, obedience to God's commands, faithfulness to the truth of God. These would help the lady to recognise and distinguish between true and false believers.
Roger, before we leave these letters of John, could you give us an outline of a sermon based on a passage from one of these letters?
Yes, if we turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verses 1 to 3, we see John is writing there about our adoption as believers to be the children of God. We might use the words children of God as a title for the sermon, and in our introduction explain that these verses are about the believer's adoption into the family of God, and that adoption gives us the right to be members of God's family and to be called the children of God. The first point we might make is the wonder of our adoption. We see this in verse 1, where John expresses wonder that God should lavish his love on us as sinners to make us his children. That love and grace are seen, of course, in the death of Christ for us, and in God's grace in drawing us to Christ. Secondly, we see the blessings of our adoption in verse 2, where we are assured of the certainty of our adoption as the children of God. Under Roman law, adoption was a legal act by which a man chose someone outside their family to be an heir of his inheritance. We have been chosen by God to be adopted as heirs. Already we are God's heirs, and we have a glorious inheritance to look forward to, which we will share with Christ. We can develop the blessings of our relationship with God now as his children, even though the world may not recognize as such, just as it did not recognize Christ as the Son of God. We can also speak of the blessings that await us in the glory of heaven. Lastly, we see in verse 3 the responsibility of our adoption. Since we have been adopted as God's sons and have a glorious inheritance, we have a responsibility to live here and now as the sons of God in a way that is worthy of him. John speaks of the need for purity and holiness in the life of the believer. Just as children often display a physical likeness or characteristics of their earthly parents, so as believers we are to display the holiness of God in lives of purity.
Thanks to Roger Prime for taking us through the letters of John. We look forward to having him again here on Serving Today to talk about other books from the New Testament. Well, here on Serving Today, how it's possible to misuse verses from the Bible is what we're thinking about at the moment in the Practical Preacher series. To help us, we're joined once again by Steve Neal. The verse we're focusing on this time is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. When I spoke to Steve Neal, my first comment was that verse 1 of Matthew chapter 7 is often used to criticise Christian believers.
Any time a Christian says something is sinful, this verse rears its head and people start saying, you can't say that to me because the Bible says don't judge, and if you're judging me, then you're a hypocrite.
But Jesus himself often criticised people, didn't he? What kind of people?
Well, it was usually the religious hypocrites, wasn't it? So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who should have understood the scriptures but seemed not to understand them when Jesus confronted them with them.
Is Jesus actually saying that we can't form judgments about certain situations or certain people?
Clearly, he can't be saying Christians aren't to judge. If we read John chapter 7, verse 24, he specifically commands us to judge with right judgment. And so Jesus himself is a hypocrite if he's calling us not to judge and yet telling us to judge with right judgment, isn't he?
What else can you say about the right context of this verse?
In verse 2, we are told, in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Then there is a famous passage from verse 3 through to verse 5 about taking the plank out of your own eye before you remove the speck from your brother's eye. But what is often overlooked in these verses, it's very clear, we are being commended to take the speck out of our brother's eye, just not before we take the plank out of our own. So what Jesus is talking about here is being a hypocrite. He's not talking about judging. He's not saying we can never say anything is sinful. He's talking about being a hypocrite, saying something is sinful and wrong whilst blithely doing it ourselves and not caring about it.
What's Jesus getting at when he says, do not judge or you too will be judged?
Well, as we read on, the chapter begins to focus on true and false disciples, true and false prophets, and the sensible foundations on which to build our life, which is a right understanding of who Jesus Christ is. So the context of these verses is clearly talking about hypocrisy of those who profess faith and not specifically talking about whether something is sinful or not and whether we can call it sinful or not.
Is he addressing an attitude which is unloving and mean-spirited and harsh and thoughtless?
Yes, but not exclusively. We need to be clear on what it is to be hypocritical. The Christian message, the gospel itself, is not, if you behave rightly, then Jesus will be pleased with you or God will be pleased with you. The Christian message is that we are all sinners. We have all fallen short of God's standard, and therefore we come in faith and repentance to Jesus Christ to be made right with him. Now, it is not hypocritical, then, for me to say something is sinful if I admit fully that I too am a sinner, I too am not right before the Lord, and I too need salvation by faith alone in Christ alone. What is interesting is if we look at verse 2, it says, "For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." So if we are harsh towards others, if we are unloving and graceless towards others, that is the measure by which we will be judged. However, if our measure is Christ Jesus, if our measure is that I am saved not by my goodness, but by his goodness, I'm saved not by what I do, but by faith in him, if I'm calling people to that same salvation in Christ, there's nothing hypocritical about that. And there's nothing hypocritical in me saying, "Look, you've sinned, brother. I know I sin too. Let's try and help one another."
It's about the way we do it.
I think it's about the measure that you use. So how are we judging people? Am I judging you as a sinner because I'm better than you? Or am I judging you as a sinner because you, just like me, have fallen short of God's glory?
And how might we apply this to believers?
We have to understand this verse in the context of the gospel itself. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who were trying to hold people to a law that they themselves couldn't keep. For example, in Matthew 23 and verses 3 and 4, Jesus says, "You must be careful to do everything they," that is the Pharisees, "tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." So the Pharisees were commanding people to obey the law, but weren't themselves keeping the law. Whereas the gospel tells us that none of us can keep the law. The gospel tells us that we are saved by faith alone in Christ alone. And therefore, this verse is not saying we can't judge and we can't call sin sin, because Jesus did that all the time. The point is that we're to judge with right judgment. Now, what is right judgment? It's knowing that we're sinners. It's knowing that we're in the same boat. It's knowing that we're saved not by my keeping the law as the Pharisees demanded, but by my coming in faith to Christ. So I think principally we've got to understand this verse in that context.
And to finish with, then, do you have any preaching suggestions for Matthew chapter 7, verse 1?
I would put it in the wider context of Matthew 7 as a whole. The main point that runs through that passage is not about being unable to judge. It's more about judging rightly, judging who are the true disciples, who are those who have come to Christ, who are the true and false prophets. This is very much a passage about how the religious leaders of the day, the people who were seen as the righteous, holy people, were indeed erring from what God demands.
And that is the last in the Practical Preacher series for now, but Steve Neal will be with us again in future programmes here on Serving Today. Sadly, that's all we've time for, so this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye. May God bless you in your service for Christ. Thank you for listening to the Serving Today podcast produced by the Grace Baptist Mission Radio team. If you haven't already done so, you can subscribe to this podcast. And to get in touch with us, you can email us. The address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. You can follow us on Twitter @servingtodaygbm. And you can also search our back catalogue by going to our webpage. That's www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Goodbye.